الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, Allah our creator, Allah our sustainer, our Rabb, our Khalik, our Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah is the owner of the day of judgment. What happens prior to judgment? Man lives on earth, planet earth. Man occupies out of all the heavenly bodies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, planetary bodies, earthly bodies that Allah has created, the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created one planet that we know of, wherein resides jinn and man. Allah first created jinn and then Allah created human beings or man. The jinns preceded living on planet earth mankind. As a result of the rejection of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of rebellion, injustice, warring factions, blood shedding, blood and fighting and hatred and enmity and all the evils that the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sensible creations of Allah, indulge in, jinn went the same way. As a result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the wisdom of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided. Allah doesn't really decide, is it? But we use these terms, human terms, to create a new creation, a human creation, mankind. For the guidance of mankind, like in the jinn, there were also those who guided them to the truth. The jinn creation was provided with guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they had to follow tawheed and their form of risalat and their belief in akhirat also. But as a result of their disobedience and rebellion and rejection of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them invisible to the human eye, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created mankind. For the guidance of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the father of mankind, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu, the mother of mankind, from the rib of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Hawa alayhi salam, and then the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi salam followed. For their guidance in the sons of Allah, not the daughters, but in the sons of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah chose, Allah picked, Allah selected the chosen messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we call the Nabis and the Rasuls, Anbiyas and Rasuls, for the guidance of mankind. Allah sent revealed books, Allah sent to the divine revelation, which you and I call Wahi, for the guidance of mankind. Amongst them, the first Nabi was Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of mankind, and the last Nabi whom Allah chose, elected, selected as the leader of all the Anbiya's, Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya, Afdharul Anbiya, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After which comes Qiyamah. No Nabi, no Rasul between Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Qiyamah. So we send Darud and Salam as we proceed with our lessons upon the final chosen messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I are the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whom we have sent the blessings, salutations and greetings, our messages of good hope. We hold fast to the rope that he brought to us, Hablullah. And as we proceed, we make this heartfelt dua from the bottom of our hearts with all sincerity, O Allah. Whatever effort we are making here, striving to learn your deen, you should also, Allah, accept that we become those who practice the deen, live the deen, believe in the deen, that we become practicing Muslimin, so that, O Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, the day of reckoning, we shall not be put to shame. amongst the teaching of all the Anbiya's. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach anything different from those who preceded him among the messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the apostles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught exactly the same. And amongst these teachings, there are certain fundamentals that belong to all the divine revelations received by the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, never changed. The unity, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been the same. O mankind, worship, believe, pray to, revere, adore, reverence one creator, one maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of perfect attributes, all powerful, all knowing, all seeing, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, Allah. The most forgiving, the most merciful. That has all of you. And then there was Risalat, each Nabi in his term of time during his era was chosen as the messenger of Allah, and all of mankind had to follow, or the particular group among the previous civilizations that existed, nations that existed. Each Nabi and Rasul came to a particular nation, a particular people, a particular area, and all of them were his, like his subjects, all had to accept him and his risalat and his teachings and his practices as their way of life to be acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until the coming of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who became a universal prophet, all of mankind, all the 5 continents of the world, all the 70-80 nations of the world that this human creation comprises of, all have to follow Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among the fundamental teachings, so one is Tawheed, second is Risalat, then there is Akhirat. All of us believe in a hereafter, in an Akhirah. And what is the basis of that Akhirah? Firstly, death. Death terminates life, extinguishes life on planet Earth, on this Earth. Man then continues the journey into the grave. That is called Alame Barzakh. Alame Dunya, Alame Barzakh, this physical, material life in this planet, that is known as Alame Dunya, the life in the world. Then we have the life in the grave, that's called Alame Barzakh. This name is to be found in the Quran. Barzakh, the life between death and, that is what we're going to learn about tonight. It is called the Ba'ath, and in English we call it the resurrection. All of mankind will be raised again. Alright, what happens in the grave? Oh, life is put back into the grave, but it is not an active, proactive life like here on earth. But when the resurrection takes place, when the Ba'ath takes place, life is revitalized, rejuvenated, like on earth. Everybody will get up from the grave. While we are in Alame Barzakh, you don't get out of the grave. You don't leave your grave and get out physically. But when the Ba'ath and the resurrection takes place, you arise out of your grave, you dust off the accumulated dust of centuries, of ages, of millions of years, or whatever time, from the time of your death to the time of your rising, your resurrection, whatever time has lapsed, doesn't matter. When you get up, whatever dust has accumulated on your clothes, on your body, you will arise. Some will have their kafan on still. The pious, the noble, true believing, faithful followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will arise, they will remove all the dust, they will shake their hands, shake their heads, their feet, shake off all the dust and so on. Energy will flow back into the bodies. And you know, when you get up from sleep, all those motions, when you get up from sleep, exactly the same motions you will be. It is as if you have risen from sleep. Some people will even say, it's been only one day since I went to sleep. since I went into my grave. Since I died, it's just been a day. Some will say it's been 100 years. Some will say it's been 1,000 years. Some will say it's been 1,000,000 years. People will say different things when they arise from the grave. But to them, understand one thing. When death takes place, time comes to an end. Time is for dunya. Time is for your calculation and my calculation. On the other side of life, there's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as daylight. There's no such thing as sunrise and sunset. Time is eternal. Time is an eternity. What do we need time for on the other side? There is no death. So what do you need time and what do you need months and what do you need calculation for? So understand with reason that there is no time on the other side. It is a timeless zone. There is no time. It is a timeless zone. But for your and my calculation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, there is a period of death, a time of death, which is in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you lie in the grave, and you remain in the grave motionless, alive but motionless. You remain in the grave, you are fully aware. What is alive? Not the physical body, it is the ruh, the soul. The soul has never died. It is the physical body that dies, not the soul, not the ruh. The ruh continues to survive. It lives in the grave in a non-physical entity, as a non-physical unit. Oh, very much aware. Very much aware of what's going on, what is happening. But not in the physical sense, in a non-physical spiritual state. Until the day comes when the resurrection takes place, the trumpet will blow. When the trumpet blows, an angel standing in readiness will blow the trumpet, which is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that will happen, what kind of trumpet, which angel, how? We have been given that we'll do it in good time. But for now, just to introduce the subject, the chapter we are entering now is we are discussing the life of the grave we are going to do, but in introduction, doing the hereafter, I wish to bring this component in, this chapter in, that there is a time in the hereafter when all of mankind will be resurrected. They will arise, get up from their graves, as from sleep, dust off their clothes, and then the angels will lead them. Oh yes, what kind? That is a spiritual, physical, like in the world, a physical, spiritual rising, where men will get up, the ruh will come alive, go into the body, will be in the, it will activate the body, energize the body, resuscitate, revitalize the body, and then people will arrive and angels will lead them. Where do they make their way? First and foremost, the Muslimin, Mu'mineen, Salihin, Siddiqeen, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be led away to the house of Kawthar. Oh, first they go to the pond, to the well of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would Nabi Kareem said, what is the desire of a Muslim if he were to ever get up from his deathbed, from his grave? What is the first? The first desire is, I want to see my Rasul. Allahu Akbar. And so he is marched up and he goes to the fountain of Kawthar. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. Come, O my believers, O you who put your trust and faith in me, come towards me. Here is a goblet, and a goblet, a cup will be given, and by the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given. Drink this water, because with the drinking of the water of Kawthar, you will not feel the intensity of the heat or the fear caused by Qiyamah. And the scenes that explode around the field of mahshar, the field of gathering. What will be seen there will be such a shock, will be so disturbing. The things, the blast, the explosions that will take place, the thunder, the lightning that will take place, the mighty angels that will surround humankind. Remember, we don't see the angels. The angels are huge. huge creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mighty creations of Allah, powerful creations of Allah, winged creatures they are. And when man sees them, man's heart will stand still. But resurrection takes place, the life that flows into the body will be able to absorb. It is the fountain, the waters of Kawthar, that will give Muslimin, Mu'mineen, the strength in order to be able to endure the sights and sounds that will take place in the field of Mahshar. But the others, what will be the condition of the others? Quran describes that when they get up, they will try to hide, they will try to escape. They know the day of judgment, the day of reckoning, the day of accountability has come. Oh, in many, many ayat, tens of ayat of the Quran Majeed, Allah, scores of ayat of the Quran, Allah describes the scenes when the ba'ath takes place. Therefore, let us do the ba'ath. But now I'm doing it in a different way. The way I'm approaching is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people of Arabia, Makkah Mukarramah in particular, and others as it spread out, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them and said, look, we as Muslims must believe in the Ba'ath, in the resurrection. Then there was immediate responses from the people of Makkah Mukarramah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has also shown us the responses of people of previous generations, the Anbiyas, the messengers of Allah, the prophets of Allah, that preached the resurrection, the Ba'ath, to previous nations. Some of the replies are also given in the Quran Majeed. How they and how similar was their responses to the responses of the people of Arabia to whom came Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah. Verbal, oral, the actual words are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. This is how the Meccans, the Quraysh, the Arabians responded to the preaching of the resurrection which is to take place. Remember, in the earlier lessons that we did, we saw the responses of the people of Arabia to deaths. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that every human being is going to die and then there's a life after death. We've already done that. How people responded, how they rejected, how hypocritical they were, how they mocked, how they jeered, how they taunted, how they rejected and refused to believe that there can be a life after death. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told them, look, leave death alone. There's going to be a resurrection where you're actually physically going to arise from your grave. They said, no, come on, that is a bit too much. That cannot be. Here are the words. That is the chapter we're busy with now. As Muslimin, we believe that there is going to be a resurrection. With conviction, with iman, with yaqeen. Oh Allah, all of us accept as Muslimin. It is part of our belief, of our qaid, that after death, when we are lying in the grave, then a day will come, or rather not a day, but a time will come, when all of man will be resurrected. We are going to look at the responses of the kuffar and mushrikeen, and in the chapter that follows we will do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to inform us about the resurrection. So I have headed this particular one, and this lesson is being delivered on a Saturday evening after performing Salatul Maghrib al Jama'ah in this, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Masjid al-Fada in Pelican Heights in the Cape, Western Cape in South Africa, on the 3rd of Rabiul Akhir, 1428 after the Hijrah, equivalent to the 21st of April of the year 2007. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regarding to those who rejected the resurrection as follows, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَيَعِدُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِتْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ تُرَابًا وَعِزَامًا أَنَّكُمْ مُخْرَجُونَ هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ لِمَا تُوْعَدُونَ إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما نحن بمبعوثين. The non-believers say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people to whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the message, the non-believers, their responses was as follows. They said, does he, this messenger of Allah, this man who calls himself Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he says he is the Rasul of Allah. Does he promise you that you will be resurrected after you have died and become dust and bones? Is this, O Muslimin, you know, the Muslims said that, look, the Sahabas, they told the kuffar around them that, listen, you know what our Prophet teaches? Our Prophet teaches there's going to be a resurrection. That there will come a time when all of mankind will have to rise from their graves, full of life. They will come alive. They will be raised. So they said, does he, just correct us, they said, tell us, does he promise you that you will be resurrected after you have died and you have become dust and bones, after your body has decayed, decomposed? Is he telling you that after you have decomposed, you have died, you have turned to dust, is he saying that you'll come out and you'll arise from your grave again, fully alive? Is this what he is saying? The Muslimin Sahaba said, yes, absolutely. What they said, here's the reply, hayhat, hayhat, like you and I say, alas, alas. Oh, sorry for you Muslim people. Very, very sad. Far-fetched, hayhat, hayhat. Far-fetched, far-fetched. Unbelievable, impossible is that which you are promised. You Muslims, what you are promised? Impossible. Unbelievable. There is no life other than the present life in this dunya, in this world. We die and we live, and we will never be raised up again. This is the response to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling them, informing them, instructing them that there is going to be a resurrection. O Muslimin, I've chosen this ayat first. Are there such people among the Muslims today? I've been told that there are. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you understand now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about the remonstration, rejection of the people of the past, O Muslimin? Are we the same? Allah will give the jawab just now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how the kuffar and mushrikeen responded to this belief in the resurrection. Let's look at it again. أَيَعِدُكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِتْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ تُرَابًا وَعِزَامًا أَنَّكُمْ مُخْرَجُونَ هَيْهَاتَ هَيْهَاتَ لِمَا تُوَعَدُونَ إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. Does this Prophet of Allah, does this Messenger of Allah promise you that you will be resurrected after you have died and become dust, turned to dust and bones? Far-fetched, far-fetched, unbelievable is that which you are promised. There is no life other than our present life in this dunya, in this world. We die and we live, and we will never be raised up again. Surah Mu'minun, Surah number 23, ayat number 35. They simply scoffed at the belief that there could ever be a resurrection. It appeared ridiculous. It appeared unbelievable. It appeared impossible that even the all-powerful Creator would be able to resurrect life after death. What kind of Creator do you Muslims have? What kind of God do you believe in? What kind of Allah do you believe in? What kind of Ilah? This is how this is. That's why we say, La ilah illallah. What kind of Ilah? What kind of Creator, Master, Owner do you believe in that you say He can bring about life and return you back to life? Return you back to life after you turn to dust? I mean, what are you people talking about? Impossible. The above illustrates their personal statement on the incredulity of resurrection. ayat number 2 coming up. I will quote ayat after ayat to you. The first one I took a bit long. Let's proceed now. Here's the next response. Further responses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, وَهُوَ الَّذِي زَرَعَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُهْشَرُونَ وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَلَهُ اخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ بَلْ قَالُوا مِثْلَ مَا قَالَ الْأَوَّلُونَ قَالُوا أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ لَقَدْ وُعِدْنَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا هَذَا مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. It is Allah who has dispersed and spread you, O mankind, O Arabs, O all the nations of the world, all the people of the world. It is Allah who has dispersed and spread you in the earth. Wherever you come from people of one continent have shifted to another. Many people from Asia have gone on to the new world, Europe and the United States and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all the countries of Europe they have gone to seek work. They have gone there, doesn't matter for what reason, but they are stationed there. People from Southeast Asia, not of their choice, all of a sudden they find themselves in many parts of Africa, South Africa in particular. They had no choice. How did they come here? From Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Java, Sumatra, all of a sudden here in South Africa? What is the connection? How did it happen? How did they come about? India, Persia, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine? How come there are people in South Africa or any other part of the world? Who dispersed them? Did they decide? Or is there a greater decider? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي زَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Allah sets our mind at ease. It is Allah who has dispersed and spread you in the earth, and to Him shall you be resurrected. Look at the connotation here. Look at this meaning. What Allah is conveying to us. Like Allah took you from one country and put you in another, no choice of yours. Allah took you, your forefathers, your ancestors, from one country and put you in another country. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that similarly with Allah it is easy. If Allah can take you from one country and put you in another, from one continent to another continent, in the same way Allah can put you back to life. Allah can put back life into you. If one thinks deeply, one will understand what Allah is conveying to us, the meaning. We have no choice. We have no decision in the matter. Allah took you from one place and put you in another. When you were a child, you were something. Today you are grown up. Maybe you are learned, maybe. What position you are working in? Did you choose your profession? Who of us chose our profession? Did you choose to be what you are? I wanted to be a scientist. I'm sitting here as an alim. I mean a person that's teaching, as a teacher. Was it my choice? No. At times I used to dream I want to be a pilot. You know how children dream. Sometimes I thought I want to be an engineer. We always looked at things what we wanted to be, but Allah decides what we will be eventually. I wanted to be rich and famous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, no, you're going to be poor and struggling. It's Allah's choice. No man can decide for himself. What is takdir? Takdir is what Allah has made you. Takdir is what Allah has given you. Who of us doesn't want to have millions? To be rich and wealthy? To have the best home? The most amount of goods? Materially successful? Rich and wealthy? Who doesn't want to be? But we don't have that option. Reason? Because there's a higher hand. There's a greater power. No, there's an all power, an all knower. So what happens then? Who decides? You don't decide, Allah decides. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like I decide for you, who you are, what you are, what you have, how much you know. Similarly, it is my willpower that will bring you back to life. If you understand that, in that one ayat we can understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us and teaching us here. It is Allah who dispersed and spread you in the earth, and to Him shall you be resurrected. It is Allah who gives life and death. There you are. It is Allah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Allah gives life and death, and it is due to Allah that night and day alternate. Oh man, what do you have? All your science and technology, can you work out? Alright. In these words is the challenge of Allah. Man, you invent with your computers and your technological skills, you develop an equipment, you make an invention, a device, whereby you can decide sunrise and sunset. Quran, O man, Allah's challenge is there. Allah says, my challenge is there, you decide. I have decided. Allah says, I have decided. Life and death belongs to me. I hold power over life and death. I shall decide. From the million, each ejaculation 500 million sperms, 400,000 eggs. Allah decides which sperm, when, out of millions, out of billions, which sperm will fertilize which egg, when, where, so that a child is born. And that child, here we are, is the living person. I am saying to you, who decides? Man. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now, I decide life and death. Life and death is in my qabza, in my power. Night and day is in my power. Oh man, have you got power? So come on. You make the sun rise at 10 o'clock. And you make the sun set at 4 o'clock. So that you can have a short working day. Come on, man. Where's your powers? Where's your willpower? Do it. Will you ever? Has man's mind gone there? Man knows he's helpless. But does man accept his helplessness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right, food. I will take all the food away from this earth. No more vegetation. Where are you going to get food from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I take all the air away, with one kun of mine, one command of mine, I can withdraw all the air from this earth. What will happen to you, O man? Does man realize the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, the blindness and ignorance of man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing here resurrection. Allah says, look, I have put you, I have positioned wherever you are in the world, not your choice, my choice. I have put you wherever I want to on this earth, on this planet. In whichever country, amongst whichever people, you have not even chosen your neighbors. I have decided who you are. I have decided everything about you. You have no choice. I have decided the kind of home you have, the kind of family you have, kind of children you have. Everything is my decision. You decide nothing. Everything I decide. Next. I make life, I make death. Allah says, I make life, I make death. Allah says, I make day, I make night. Understood? Right, let's carry on. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you not then understand? That is why I was saying, think what I'm saying to you. What Allah is saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Oh man, why don't you understand? Why don't you understand what is going on? Why don't you understand? Will you not then understand? Then Allah says, Allah is the all-powerful. However, they say what the former people said. Who? The Arab. Oh, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, your people, when you are telling them that there is going to be a resurrection and they reject it, well, no surprise. Oh, Muhammadur Rasulullah, it shouldn't be a surprise to you, oh my Rasul, my beloved, it shouldn't be a surprise. Because the same kind of rejection former peoples did to their prophets. They say what the former people said. Here's the Arabic of it. قَالُوا مِثْلَ مَا قَالَ الْأَوَّلُونَ قَالُوا. And what did the earlier people say? This is what they said. They say, will we be raised after we have died and become dust and bones? So the present people are telling you this, but oh my beloved messenger, the previous people said the same thing to their prophets. What did they say? They said, will we be raised, brought back to life? Will we be resurrected after we have died and become dust and bones? This is what we have been promised before. We and our forefathers. This is what the people said. The people of Musa alayhi salam, the people of Isa alayhi salam, the people of Musa alayhi salam, the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all the earlier messengers, this is how they responded. They said, oh, you prophets, you come. Oh, all of you, what are you telling us that after we have become dust, we will be, life will be put back and we will be resurrected again? This body will come back and become a living thing? How can we return? Look at the aqd. Is there any reason in that? Allah has made us of dust. To take the resurrected dust and make us again from the same dust of which we have been made, what is impossible to Allah? But anyway, this is what they told Rasulullah, like the previous, this is what we have been promised before, and our forefathers were promised the same by their prophets. This is nothing. This is what they said. Allahu Akbar. In hadha illa asatirul awwaleen. What you are saying, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is nothing but the fables, stories, myths and legends of the ancient peoples. This is the stories of the ancient fables of the ancient peoples. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you are saying is just, you know, stories. You are storytelling. That's all you are doing. Fables of the ancient peoples. Nothing new in your religion that you are saying. What you are saying, Isa said the same, and we did not accept it. What you are saying, Musa said the same, we did not accept it. So don't you come and tell us the same stories. It doesn't make sense to us. What you are saying is unbelievable. Surah Mu'minun, 23rd Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 79-83. It was very hard for them to accept the resurrection. It could simply not be. For men to be raised again after death was a myth of the highest order, and it confounded their minds. They could see the power of Allah throughout the universe, but they could not understand that life could be put back into the human body after death by an omnipotent Allah. And so they mocked at the idea of any such possibility. They also knew that their ancestors had received the same warnings of an impending and forthcoming resurrection, whereafter all men would be held accountable for their actions on a day of reckoning. But even that was considered unpleasant and offensive. And so they rejected the very thought of being liable and accountable and answerable to a supreme authority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautifully said here, is that people don't want to be held accountable. The reason why they refuse to accept the resurrection is because they don't want to believe that one day they have to present themselves in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to account for their deeds in the world, the good and the bad. They don't want to even think about it. So, reject resurrection. You see, once you accept life after death, once you accept reckoning and judgment, that means to say, whatever you are doing in the world, you will have to give an account of it. So, rather reject it, so then there's no fear. You can enjoy your life in the dunya. Next ayat coming up is the following. All this, every ayat I'm going to quote, is in the Quran Majid with regard to the rejection of the belief in the resurrection. بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا. No, they are not expecting any resurrection. Oh my messenger, O my Prophet, O my beloved Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the response of people. They are not expecting any resurrection. Balkanu la yarjuna nushura. They just simply don't want to even think about it. They don't want to even consider it. As far as they are concerned, you preach the truth. You say there is going to be a resurrection. But at the same time, no, they're not going to accept it. But you go on preaching. Surah Furqan, 25th surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 40. The Arabs were avid travelers. And they were well informed about the history of previous nations. On seeing the destruction and havoc wreaked on the lands and nations of ancient peoples and places, they derived no lessons as to the causes of their devastation and destruction. Idolatry had truly blinded them to the truth of Tawheed and Risalah, and their belief in the Akhirah, in the hereafter, was nullified by their greed for the goods and pleasures of this worldly life. Sin and evil have the effect of making vice, depravity, iniquity, and wickedness appear good, favorable, and beneficial to men. Into this kind of society was the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his teaching about the life after death, the resurrection, and the reckoning was resisted by the people, until that very nation accepted it wholeheartedly and sincerely at a later stage. These are the struggle years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah Mukarrama, when they rejected. But eventually many of them accepted. In the beginning they resisted. The achievement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely remarkable, as also the way in which a fallen and a disgraced Arab nation were raised by the Qudrat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being the most corrupt and immoral to becoming the models of piety and chastity for the whole of humanity until the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this. He said, look, there is going to be accountability. There is going to be life after death. There is life after death. There is going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a day of judgment. That is the belief in Akhirah. They resisted, but amongst them slowly, many of the Quraysh, many of the Arabian peoples, many from surrounding territories also eventually, were convinced by his persistence. No change. This is my... The beliefs that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with in the beginning continued until he passed away from this world. Without a single... He never gave in. Look, the God of the Christians is the Pope. He can change religion. They say he is God's representative, God's envoy, God's ambassador, God's agent on earth. So he can now and then pass an edict. What is an edict or an edict? It is a law that's passed wherein the Pope and the papacy decides whatever changes can be made to the Christian religion. Catholicism doesn't matter. It is a major sect in Christianity. But the Pope with the papacy in concert, in consultation, can decide whatever changes, alterations, modifications can be made to the Christian religion, even on the principle of belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear, O Muslimin, you have no such option at all, no choice. That which was brought by, delivered by Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, preached by and practiced by Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah until the day of judgment, none has a right to modify, correct, alter at all whatsoever. Christians, yes, they can change and modify. Judaism, yes, they can modify. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam never ever allowed the drinking, consumption of wine. or gambling. Today, most of the casinos are owned by, promoted by. Most of the distilleries, winemaking, estate farms, wine production is owned by the Yahud. And religiously, Judaically, it is permissible. Nabi Musa alayhi salam never permitted it. Today, come, you will go. Come with me to the plotted land, to the Buland, you will see farm after farm that's owned by Jews today. There are estate farms, wine producing farms on them. I asked one Jew, whom I knew quite well, I said, why do you people do this? You know Islam, Christianity, Judaism doesn't permit this. Why are you people making, promoting wine? Why are you in the pleasure industry, in the sex industry, in the film industry? Why do you promote immorality and corruption? That is what films are doing today. Why are you promoting casinos and gambling and all this? It's absolutely... Why do you eat pork? Why the consumption of pork? Why are there some of your farms on which... pig farms? Why have you gone in for this? He says, Adam, I want to tell you something. You people better understand. You Muslims better understand this. When it comes to money, money is our God. All right, he made it as a joke. But let me tell you, he meant every word of it. When you worship wealth and you make money your God, then you can change your religion. That is exactly what the Yahud have done. Whether they like it or not, Judaism prohibits wine, prohibits pork, prohibits gambling, prohibits prostitution, gambling, and promotion of immorality and corruption. But they are doing it, and they say, we do it because our religion permits it. Which means that that religion has been modified, transformed, changed, and become. So the papacy on the one hand permits changes to the beliefs and practices of Christianity. The rabbinical order amongst the Jews, the rabbinical order, like the papacy, also has the power to change, to alter, to modify whichever principle, teachings, fundamentals of Judaism they feel needs to be changed or adapted to the times in the society in which they are living. With Islam, let's be very, very clear. Both orders, which one? Both from the Christian side and the Jewish side, there is immense pressure upon the Muslims to bring about certain transformations and modifications also. Since they classify the Muslim ulama into two categories, they say there are the modernists and the fundamentalists. What they have done is they have now taken in the institutions of learning and they have opened up Islamic sectors or Islamic sections in their particular universities, especially in the United States, in the modern world. And they're offering specialist courses, doctorates and so on, in their institutions, wherein Muslim students are being taught the deen of Islam. Which version? That version that will accept modification, change, and so on to their religion. And they are saying, look, we as Christian theologians, we as rabbinical theologians, as rabbis and so on, we permit such changes. Oh, Muslims, wake up. Why? When are you guys going to wake up? When are you people going to wake up? Your people need to create a new order, new Islamic order. We have changed Christianity. We have introduced a new Christian order. The Jews say that we have introduced a new order in Judaism. Muslims, you introduce a new order also, so that the Muslims can now progress like we of the Western countries in our contemporary times can also advance. can also modernize and keep up with the times. This is the threat that has come about. These lessons that I conduct here on life after death is to make it very clear to all our listeners that in no way at all so whatsoever can any kind of modification, any kind of transformation, any kind of alteration, or any kind of improvement be done to the basics of Islam, the tenets of Islam, the fundamentals of Islam, the beliefs of Islam, and the practices of Islam. And Allah is our protector. No matter how hard they try, and no matter how many modern ulama or contemporary ulama emerge from these institutions of the kuffar, I assure them, you will not be able to bring about and create any change whatsoever in the deen of Islam. The ummah will not permit it. Not the ulama of the ummah, not the fundamentalist ulama, the public themselves, the ummah itself will not. They will choke you, kill you, remove you, but they will not permit you to interfere in the deen of Islam. So hands off. Islam belongs to Allah and belongs to and has been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we have done one. Balkanu la yarjuna nushura. Oh my messenger, they say that there is no such thing as resurrection. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed when he started, only a handful of people accepted the Ba'ath, the resurrection. And eventually, you know what happened to Tawheed? Rejection, but then acceptance. Risalat, rejection and then acceptance. Resurrection, Akhirah, judgment, rejection and then the very same Arab peoples saw the quality of persistence and the changelessness of Islam. And eventually they submitted as they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam progress. Next ayat coming up is the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَيْذَا كُنَّا تُرَابًا وَآبَاؤُنَا أَإِنَّا لَمُخْرَجُونَ لَكَدْ وُعِدْنَا هَذَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And those who disbelieve say, O my messenger, O my prophet, those who disbelieve, O all those people around you, the Arab nation, and those others surrounding the Arab nation, and those who disbelieve say, what? When we and our forefathers have turned into dust, shall we then be resurrected? We'll be raised again? We'll be brought back to life? We and our forefathers have been promised such resurrection before. This is nothing but the tales of the peoples of the past, of the ancient peoples. O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, travel in the earth and see what was the plight of the sinners, what kind, how they were devastated. Go to Greece, go to Rome, see what happened there. O Arabs, you have traveled. You've gone to Rome, you've gone to Persia, you've gone to Europe, you've gone to Asia, you've gone to Siberia. This is where the Arabs used to travel. For trading purposes, there's nothing in Mecca and Medina. If they want to do business, they have to travel outside. No nation in the world of those days, of 15 centuries ago, no nation in the world traveled more than what the Arabs. The Greeks traveled, but not as much as the Arabs. Arabs were conducting business all over Europe and Asia. And you know, they used to build their Arab dhows, and they used to put it on the Red Sea and travel through and go all over through the Indian Ocean, Sri Lanka, and even further into Southeast Asia and trade. And they used to come this way and go into Europe also and trade all over. And in the Mediterranean, where Egypt is, they used to go through the Red Sea and go and trade with all along the shorelines of the Mediterranean. The Arabs were trading. Avid traders they were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Arab, travel and go, and wherever you go. What happened to the ruined castles, ruined cities, What happened there? Oh Muslimin, oh Arab peoples, in the Quran it says, go and travel, look at these ruins and try and find out why these people were devastated. What happened to the Qawm Nuh? What happened to the Qawm Lut? What happened to the Qawm Ibrahim? What happened to the Qawm Dawood? Go and study, learn, acquire knowledge, and you will understand they were wiped off the surface of the earth, they were punished, they were destroyed. Go to Egypt. Oh Arabs, right next to you is the Egypt. The Pharaonic civilization was one of the biggest, wealthiest, most powerful in the past. Go and find out what happened. Not before, long before, not a long time before the birth of, and the Prophet of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, what happened to them? What happened to a prosperous nation like the Egyptians? Oh Arabs, go to Yemen, find out what happened. Qawm Sabah used to live there, powerful nation. What rulers, what wealth, how they flourished. What happened to them? Go and find out. They were your people, your ancestors, these Yemenites. Go and find out why were they destroyed. You know why they were destroyed? Because when they were taught La ilaha illallah, what did they do? They worshipped idols. Allah says there is no God, no other creator, no other sustainer, no other provider, no other creator but one Allah. Bow and prostrate to Allah. Adore Allah, revere Allah, worship Allah. Prostrate to one Allah, seek from one Allah. What did they do? They carved handmade gods. They took trees. They took mountains and caves. They took all kinds of wild beasts. And they began to worship them. What happened to the Egyptian civilization? You know, they took the bull, they took the cow, they took the calf and began to worship that. And then later when there were objections, what they do? They added a human head to the calf, a human head to the calf. What did they do? They began to worship that. A mixture of human and beast, animal. And they began to worship that. They took pillars. They carved the pillars, they built these pillars, and they stood in front of the pillars, and they made tawaf of these pillars. You're supposed to make tawaf of the Kaaba, but wherever they could, they made tawaf of these pillars, and they worshipped them, and they raised their hands and carved them. In Hindustan, in India, ancient civilization, what did they do? The mighty prophets that came, the messengers of Allah, what did they do? How many thousands of temples stood there? The first Sahaba-e-Karam that landed there. They say every city in India consisted of hundreds and of thousands of temples where idols were worshipped. How many messengers? Hundreds, thousands of messengers of Allah came to India. And yet what happened? Thousands of gods were worshipped. Thousands of idols were being worshipped. Sahabas were in absolute shock. They said, Ya Allah, they immediately went into sijda. They said, Ya Allah, one prophet only, one messenger. Not hundreds, not thousands came to us. One message, one Rasul. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala said, Radina billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasulan wa nabiyan. Ya Allah, we are extremely thankful that to us came one messenger for the deen of Islam. We express our gratitude, oh Allah, for the deen of Islam that has come. This religion came to us, Islam, we accepted. One Allah, worship of one Allah, Tawheed came to us, we accepted. A Risalat came to us, we accepted. With joy and happiness we accepted, oh Allah. And when Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us, we accepted him, we embraced him. He is our messenger. And here in India, and here in Asia, in Southeast Asia, when they went to Siberia and China and Russia, what they saw there was thousands of gods in worship. They said, our ancestor is Ibrahim. Nabi Ibrahim traveled through all these lands, and Syria, Palestine, all over he traveled. What happened? The teachings of thousands of messengers, and people returned from Tawhid into Shirk. And what kind of Shirk? The worst form of idolatry. Because idolatry in those days was surrounded by the worst form of Shirk that you can imagine. Customs and traditions you can. Where in fornication and orgies, with, in those days you had the idols standing there, or idols standing there. And what were people doing? Whenever they came to pray and worship, they indulged in the worst, they call it orgies. In orgies, man and woman, men and women exchange sexual pleasure with no boundaries at all whatsoever. Drinking and enjoying themselves and making merry. Read the books of history, you will find what I'm talking to you about. So, worship became an act of total immorality and corruption with no boundaries. Read in Europe. Europe prides itself today. The Greco-Roman civilization says we are the founders of modern Christianity, Judaism, and the modern world. All the laws in the modern world are based on those of Greece and Rome. The law even today. Supposedly, of course. But go and see what kind of practices they had. How steeped they were in idolatry. Islamic history? No such thing. You will never find it ever being tainted. Going through the life of the Sahaba-i-Karam. Never tainted with a single form of orgy or pleasure or worldly lust. Never. No corruption whatsoever. And the world doesn't want to recognize that. Look what we are going to in the Quran. It tells us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, there is an accountability, there is a reckoning, there is a day on which there will be judgment, and judgment will be held, and every human being will have to account. The people laugh at him, they taunt him, they mock him. It is unbelievable that we who have died, and thousands of years we have lived in this grave, we have turned, decomposed, decayed completely, turned into dust and bones, and then we will be brought. Rasulullah, I mean, Abu al-Qasim, are you telling us, are you teaching us, are you telling us that we must believe that there is going to be a resurrection? Here is the words. And those who disbelieve say what? When we and our forefathers have turned into dust, shall we then be resurrected? We and our forefathers have been promised this resurrection before. They laughed at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, you know what you are saying, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi, what you are saying. And Ibrahim said, Isa said, Musa said, alayhi salatu wa salam, Nuh said the same thing, Lut said the same thing, Sulaiman said the same thing, Dawood said the same thing, Allah Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa salam. All of them taught the same thing. But you know what those were? Allahu Akbar, this is nothing but the tales of the ancient people, myths, legends, fables, stories that you are making, fairy tales that you are talking about. There is no such thing. O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qul siru fil ardi, O people of Arabia, what he is teaching you, what your prophet is teaching you, go out, travel out. You travel a lot, now travel out and go. Siru fil ardi, fanzuru kaifa kana aqibatul mujrimin. Go and see why previous nations have been devastated. Where was Greece? A rich, powerful, thriving, knowledgeable nation. What happened? With all their learning, with all their skills, beautiful books they have written. Up till now, those books are available. You can go through that literature, powerful literature. Yes, Greek. But what happened? due to their rejection of the message of their prophets. The prophets who came to the Greek nation, they rejected them. They rejected the Tawhid that their prophets, Greek prophets, taught them. They rejected it. To Europe came thousands of prophets. They rejected the teachings of their prophets. To the Arab nation came, from the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And by who? To the Arab nation. Not to the others. Not to the Bani Israel. To the Arab nation, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, from the progeny of Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Ismail, one prophet, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they accepted his every teaching. And he told them, look, there is an akhirah. In the akhirah, there is a life in the grave, a life in the qabr, and then Allah will bring you all together. Allah will resurrect you, all your bones, all your dust, all your earth, all your clay, all your organs, all your limbs will be brought together again, and Allah will raise you in the grave with all your organs and all your body, the same heart, the same lung, the same legs, the same feet, the same eyes, the same nose, the same ears. Allah will resurrect you. And they started laughing. What is this man talking about? What is this man talking about? I'm asking you, Muslimin of today, what is your belief? Do we believe as Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believe that Allah has the power to bring you back to life? When you have decomposed, your body has rotted. Ask your son, your grandson, your great-grandson to come and dig up your grave. What would he find there? No, sir. Today we bury 2-3 people. After so many years, you can bury in the same grave again. And if you dig up the grave, nothing. Maybe a few bones will be left. But nothing else. No flesh, nothing. And then you are saying, and I am saying, Allah has the power. Allah will bring you back together. We call it resurrection. How do you believe? Oh, it's a very important tenet of belief. We need to know, has Allah... When Allah made you from nothing, Allahu Akbar, why can't Allah make you again? From those dust, or a dust will be left from Allah. Allah hasn't got the power to recreate you, create you, resurrect you from with dust and bones. Allah doesn't have the power. If Allah can make you from nothing, are you saying Allah can't do so again? Allahu Akbar. What is your thought of Allah? This ayat that I recited now is from Surah Naml, 27th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 67, 68 and 69. This was the response of the people to the propagation of belief in the resurrection in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They had deviated to such an extent, and waywardness had taken hold of their lives in such a way that they refused to think straight and held such confused and disconcerting views about a teaching every Rasul, every Nabi that came to them preached, to mankind preached. They had also been clearly informed that the lack of fear of resurrection and judgment had led to the downfall and destruction of previous nations. Even this could not drive away their mocking and belittling of the resurrection. They were a people who had lost their way, the Arabs. They were a people who had lost their way. As Muslims, we need to consider the strength of our belief and faith in the articles of faith regarding the hereafter, Islamic belief, and how realistic we are in applying the principles of Islam into our lives. Are we serious about resurrection and judgment? Are we preparing for death and the life after death? Do we understand? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent hours and hours and hours explaining to the Sahaba akram about the life after death, the life in the grave, the life resurrection, the life after resurrection, the life on the day of Qiyamah, and the Quran is filled not with one or two, with hundreds of ayat, entire surahs devoted to the resurrection and the moments after resurrection. Are you and I saying that what Allah has put in there are fables, stories, just to make us frightened? Do we think those are fables, like the people of Arabia said, like the people of Egypt said to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, like the Bani Israel said to Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? The Bani Israel refused to believe in the resurrection. The Egyptian civilization refused to believe in the resurrection. Allahu Akbar, devastation came and wiped them out. Furthermore, the people of Yemen, where is the Qawm Sabah? Where's the powerful nation that lived there, that built homes suspended above the ground, no foundations? Subhanallah, today you can't build a home like that. You can never build a home what they could build. Somehow they had discovered some methodology, some technical skill they had developed, where you can build a house above the ground, raise it, and it could stand like that. We haven't been able to develop that kind. Maybe sometime in the future. But they had developed skills. That is, the Qawm Aad and Samud had developed skills. You and I cannot believe what kind of skills they had developed. What happened to them? They refused to believe in a life after death. They refused to believe in the articles of faith, that there is going to be judgment. There's a day of judgment. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day of resurrection, as a result of which Allah's azab came, and Allah's azab took them away and wiped them off the surface of the earth. They don't exist anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Arab nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, travel and go out and look for yourself. Think, reason, judge, look at history of the past peoples. It is the belief of Islam that there is a resurrection. Person dies, he has a life in the grave, he will then be raised, and then he will go for the day of judgment, day of Qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree who goes to Jannah and who goes to Jahannam. This is reality of belief. Muslimin, this is not fable, this is not law, this is not legend, this is not myth. This is haq. The Quran is a book of haq. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these words, we come to an end of today's lesson, and next week we shall continue with further responses of the kuffar and mushrikeen when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them that there is going to be a resurrection. In this chapter, we're sticking to one, that is the resurrection only. And after that, we'll go on further, inshallah, in our series on life after death. Shukran, jazakumullah, wa akhiru da'wana, anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Azan.